Good afternoon, church. Good afternoon, church. That's awesome. I'm Deacon Scott, as Monsignor mentioned, and I'm very grateful to Monsignor that he would invite me to come and speak with you, and I appreciate your patience in speaking to you today about Together in Mission. Together in Mission, as most of you know, is the Archdiocese's annual appeal. When we gather up our gifts, we take some of our gifts and we offer those to parishes and schools that benefit from your generosity so that they might literally stay open. I get to work with many of those parishes in my work on a daily basis, and I can tell you how grateful the people are. And on behalf of Archbishop Gomez and Bishop Clark, I'm here to say thank you for that. There are very few parishes that are as generous as St. Monica's has always been, and I'm very thankful for that, so thank you. St. Monica has a very special place in my heart. St. Monica's Church here has a very special place in my heart. Many years ago, I got married, and my wife and I, Terry, we made our home in a little one-bedroom apartment over on 12th and Montana. I wasn't Catholic then. I didn't know anything about the Catholic Church. I didn't really understand too much about Catholicism in general. I had a relationship with God. I knew that God existed, but no formal religion. And one day, my wife said, "Scott, we're going to church." And being the honeymooner that I was and the dutiful son that husband that I was, off we went. And this is the church that we came to. And we sat right about here. And it was everything that I thought a Catholic church would be. It was filled with people. It had the music and the beautiful art. And I was waiting a little nervously, a little anxiously, because I didn't know exactly what to do, waiting for the wise priest to go on high and give us the words of wisdom that only he would possess. And instead, he got a microphone and he came down here. And he started asking people a question. And the question was, "Why are you here?" And then he went to the next person, "Why are you here?" To the next person, "Why are you here? And why are you here?" And you can imagine my total fear, because he was getting closer to me. And as he approached me, it just seemed like slow motion. "Why are you here?" The first thing that came to my mind is, why are we sitting so close? There's so many other pews. So he asked me, "Why are you here?" And there was just silence waiting for my reply. And all I could come up with was, "Because my wife told me to come." And over the next couple of months and year, we continued to come. I didn't know exactly what you were all doing. There were some exercises involved where you got up and you got down and we kneeled and we got back up again. And right in the middle of Mass, they served refreshments. I thought that was very nice. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I didn't know. I didn't know what was happening. But there were certain afternoons as I became a little bit more comfortable, where I would come here when the church was empty. And I would sit in a pew and I would rest. I didn't know exactly why I was here. I didn't know exactly what drew me here. But I knew that out in the world there was a tremendous amount of chaos and a lot of division and prejudice and struggle and fighting and ego and trying to accumulate as many things as possible, and I was fighting with the distractions of that at a very young age. We were 7 when we got married, just in case anybody wanted to know. But at a very young age, a young man of 22 that had a lot of doubt about what my identity was to be and who I was called to be. And I would come and I would sit here. And it gave me an opportunity to rest. and an opportunity for God to speak to me as only God can when we're at rest. And there are a lot of places that you can rest, and there are a lot of places that you can communicate with God, and God can communicate to you. But the reason that it worked for me to be here was because it was safe. I could be exactly who I was. It was a safe sanctuary from all the craziness outside in my world. I've come to learn, as you can imagine, my path has taken many turns since then. I've come to learn that we have an obligation and a responsibility to help provide those sanctuaries for everyone. And that is the very essence of Together in Mission. The very essence of Together in Mission is us taking our gifts, the gifts that God has offered us based on the gifts that He's offered you, that we take these gifts and we help our neighbor. Sometimes a neighbor that we don't know, but I can tell you, I can assure you, that is a neighbor that is your brother and your sister. And in their environments, they're significantly more dangerous than our environments, significantly more distracting. And in many of these areas, God is not promoted at all. God is only promoted, it seems, in these sanctuaries, places where other people can come and sit and rest. And as I became a little bit more sophisticated, I understood a little bit about what God wanted me to be as a man and as a wife. I glorified in, I responded to, and was inspired by God's word in Scripture, the beautiful music, and the wisdom of the priest in the community that was gathered around me. You. I think we have an obligation and responsibility to try to duplicate that in as many areas as possible. Love our God and love our neighbor. I want to learn a little bit about you. That's a little bit about me. So I'm going to ask, raise of hands, how many people here recognize themselves as a child of God? Raise your hand. Be proud. I'm a child of God. Okay, that's great. How many people then recognize themselves to be disciples of Jesus Christ? I'm a child of God, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now some people are just kind of like this, I'm not really sure. Okay, so we recognize ourselves as children of God and disciples of Jesus Christ. And knowing that, feeling that, and believing that, how many here are ready and prepared to sell everything they have and follow Him? Okay. Raise your hand. Be proud. Great, that's good. I'm going to ask you to please stand. No, seriously, I want you to stand. I want you to be acknowledged by your community that you would be courageous enough to say that. That's a very difficult thing to say. Stand up. Stay standing. Stay standing. Because I also want Monsignor to get your name and phone number. Because we can complete this campaign very, very quickly. Based on your generosity. Thank you very much. Thank you. You know, that's a very courageous statement. That's a very courageous thought, isn't it? Huh?
Oh, that's good.
You think I'm kidding. He's writing your names down right now.
I've already got them.
Yeah, see? His iPhone is eating you right now. But isn't that who we're called to be? Thank you for those who stood up. Isn't that who we're called to be? We know who we are today. We know who we are today in our gifts and our talents and our strengths and our weaknesses. But there's more to that. There's more to who God asks us each to be. To be who we are today and to transform ourselves into who God asks us to be. Each one of us, every single one here, no matter your economic status, your educational status, or your religious sophistication, God sees you as you are today. We see each other as we are today. But God calls us to be more than that. to be who God asks us to be. And that's a big transition. It's a big transition from child to God, to disciple of Jesus Christ, to recognize that we have gifts that we can offer others. It takes change. It means that each one of us are going to have to change. And we're not very good with change, huh? We are not very good with change. Have you ever come to church and someone's sitting in your pew? She's sitting in my pew. And you don't really know what to do. But then you go to your neighbor people that you normally sit with and you're going to them like, didn't you tell them that was my pew? I was kind of counting on you to tell me that was my pew. So if we are asked just to move from where we normally sit over to the other side to perhaps get another perspective, oh, we don't want to do that. So you can imagine the difficulty for us to transfer from who we are today to who God asks us to be. To take on the very essence of Together in Mission from who I am today with the gifts that I have that I've worked very hard for, and now you want me to give some of that to somebody else I don't know. But they're your brothers and sisters, and they need your help. I recently went to a family reunion. The family reunion, we celebrated my aunts. I have twin aunts who are 85 years old. We celebrated their 85th birthday. 85. These are some active women. They still live on their own. One of them teaches line dancing. Both of them drive. I'm not saying anything about the driving, but they both drive. Huh? Active women and remarkable women. My dad and his sisters, his twin sisters, lost both parents when my dad was 14 and they were 16. And this was during World War II, so they were left on their own. No foster care, no orphanage. Hmm. My aunts have a quirk. They're allowed to have a quirk when you're 85. You're allowed to have a quirk. Evidently, you're allowed to have one when you're in your early 70s. Right? You're allowed to have they're allowed to have a quirk, and their quirk is they determine how well you're doing, how successful you are, but how well you are based on your shoes, the condition of your shoes, right? Because this generation was the most remarkable generation of sacrifice, remarkable generation of sacrifice, and they didn't have any shoes. When they were growing up, they didn't have a lot of shoes. So now that's just a measurement that they have. So whenever they see me or any of my relatives, whenever they see us, we get really nervous. They don't come up and hug us or kiss us or say we miss you. All they do is come up and they look at your shoes. So I was going to go to this family reunion and I was going to see them. So the first thing I had to do is go out and get some new shoes. So I went to the shoe store. And I don't know if you know this, I'm here to share this information with you, but shoes are very expensive. Very expensive. And I was sitting down in the chair waiting for my new little shoes to see which ones I was going to pick. And a young lady was sitting next to me, and she was just distraught with anxiety because she could not find a new pair of shoes that was going to match the dress that she was going to be wearing. And she was telling the salesperson that she had 42 pairs of shoes and none of the 42 pairs of shoes would match the dress that she was going to be wearing. And I'm over in my little chair and I can't really say anything, you know, because I have 2.5 pairs of shoes because I lost a tennis shoe. I don't know where it is. So I have 2.5 pairs of shoes and I'm basically doing the same thing. I'm trying to get some shoes to go with my outfit so I can go see my aunts. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't pay for it. It was just too expensive. It just seemed so strange to me. And fast forwarded a little bit in a conversation with my wife, Terry, and we're talking about Together in Mission. And so we made a decision as a couple. We made a decision that this year we are going to make a pledge to St. Monica's Together in Mission Appeal. And our pledge amount will be the cost of 2 pairs of shoes. My new pair of shoes I didn't buy, the new pair of shoes she didn't buy. She's going to be very shocked by this homily right now, but it's a group effort. And I'm going to ask each of you, I'm going to ask each of you, everyone here, if you too would join us and not buy just one pair of shoes this year. Just not buy one pair of shoes, and that you might make that amount that you normally would have paid for those shoes, whatever they were, and put that into the pledge. If everyone did that, if everyone in the community did that, you would exceed your goal 2-3 times. Instantly, quickly, amazingly. And everyone would have made a contribution that didn't drastically change their lives. Everybody just saying, I'm not going to buy this one pair of shoes and I'm going to pledge. And so that's why I'm asking of each of you, that you might think about who God calls you to be. That we are called to love our God and to love our neighbor. And to know that every contribution you make significantly impacts these communities, the communities that are part of us, the communities that welcomed people like you welcomed me at a time that I needed welcome, and a time that I needed safety and sanctuary, and a time that these children need a safe school to go to. I'm going to ask each of you to do that. Because if we do that, I can assure you that there is a young man that's going to go to one of those parishes. And he's going to sit there and have a lot of doubt and wonder. And it's either going to be a little child in a school or a young man that's struggling in his faith, wants to know his identity, dealing with the doubt that is surrounding him. And we're going to give those young men and women an opportunity to hear the voice of God in sacred scripture, the beautiful music that attracts us and inspires us, and to be inspired by the men who have the wisdom to put us all together. So on behalf of Archbishop Gomez, Bishop Clark, and all of those parishes and schools, I thank you, and I especially thank you for your patience with me tonight. God bless you.
Great. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Deacon Scott.